Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
That's Gift of Notes there with Uli Figalaka right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. They brought us to exactly 10 after 6. This is Thursday Life with me, Godfrey Mabi. Thank you once again for choosing us. Thank you once again for tuning in to AM 657 kHz, www.radiopulpit.co.za, audio channel 882 on DSTV, audio channel 607 on OpenView HD, whatever the platform that you might be using to tune in to your favorite radio station. I would like to say thank you, and you are most welcomed. And of course, thank you again for telling others about this wonderful radio station. And right before me was the legendary presenter there. That's one else right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Thank you very much, Yuan. It's an honor really to be working with you. I think I've been working with you for the past 24 years and I've learned a lot from you. This is somebody that cannot be imitated at all. The legendary Yuan else right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Hope that you had a great time with him this afternoon as always. And of course, this time around we'll be talking to Bishop Ntate Sello Moruti Bishop's what else? Doctor, apostle, prophet.
Ordinary person,
a humble man indeed. He simply calls himself Silo Helipi on social media. So I'm not sure about other people that are so obsessed with titles, but I think you can take a leaf from a man and a woman such as this. Belong Hore Hesh, I simply call me Silo Helipi, and yeah. But out of respect, you don't call the elderly by their first names. That's according to the African culture and tradition. We don't do that. We don't do that.
Israel on that.
We
are called those that are senior by giving them God.
That's a way of showing them respect. Nahana fella, wana how visa selo. Yes, selo. No, that's not acceptable at all. Or when I can be so good free. Yeah, I feel very uncomfortable whenever my children are mentioning my first name. Like they'll be saying, okay, papa, okay, and they'll be calling my first name, and I'm like, can't you maybe say Mr. Khawalat or something? But I feel a little bit uncomfortable, Mruti, but what else can we say? Otherwise, Mruti Waka, greetings. And I hope that you had a great day. What's the date, by the way? Thursday, the 15th of April.
Mruti, good evening, and good evening to all the Radio Pulpit listeners. Yes, indeed, it was a blessed, wonderful day, and we really thank God for this day.
Let's start with the COVID stats, Mfundi. It looks like it's slowly getting out of fashion, even though it is claiming the lives of those that are close to us and the lives of our loved ones. That makes it more dangerous than many other illnesses that we know about today.
Mruti, it is indeed remaining a cause for concern. However, if we look at the recovery rate still remains very high at 95%. But the 5% that do not make it must be a concern, because it is somebody's father. It is somebody's mother, somebody's son, somebody's husband, somebody's wife. And, you know, it is a life connected to so many lives. And it is a human being. It is the image of God that just gets to succumb to this devastating and evil disease. As we speak right now, we saw a bit of a spike yesterday. With the new COVID cases, where we saw just about 1,600 cases at 1,599. The daily deaths, we see the daily deaths starting to go up a bit as well at 75. And I think, you know, we should always take a moment to think about those 75 families that today are without some of them breadwinners and loved ones and people that they had looked up to. It is indeed a very a serious point of concern for us, but we can take courage as well that in the midst of this, the recovery rate remains reasonably high.
Okay, Mfundisi, what do you think contributed to the slight increase? Is it maybe the numbers that came right after Good Friday?
Very difficult to say, Muruti, and I will tell you why. Because we often look at the 10 days from the time when a super spreader event or a trigger event could have happened. So we are long past the 10 days. So the I think blaming it on or suspecting it on the Easter weekend could be problematic. If it was the Easter weekend, we should have seen the numbers going up as of Monday. Okay. And we only seen this happening as of the weekend, the past weekend. So we haven't seen that. The numbers have remained reasonably low. I think it is more behavioral, that we need to keep our behavior in check. Once people start throwing away the masks and not wearing masks in public and relaxing the protocols, then it becomes a problem. So we just do not need to drop our guard.
I think, Mfundisi, they say charity begins at home. Let's look at some of the pictures that were taken during church services there. When you look at them, Rudy, they are very concerning and scary. There is no social distancing there. Yes, people continue to lay hands and without wearing masks on people, and people that are being laid hands on are not wearing masks at all, Mfundisi. I think we should be very careful with that one. 1 minute to address that one, and then you go to the next one.
Yeah, Muruti, let us be honest. In general, I think the church behaved very well. Where there were instances of disregard for the protocols, those we need to condemn. We need to indicate and tell our brothers and sisters in the church to say to them, there is no place in those who believe in Christ to act recklessly, because not only does it affect us as individuals, as believers, and as the church, but it affects the whole nation. We should think beyond ourselves as a church and what we believe and who we believe in. We should think about other people and about South Africa in general, because one may be infected and become, the person who does not have symptoms, asymptomatic, but then become a lightning rod in their community. So churches need to at all times refrain. Jesus remains the Lord. God is still on the throne. His throne is not going anywhere, because we are taking care of our society and of our community. And society should not look upon us and disregard our message of hope and the message that we take to the world because of our recklessness. That we need to say, and say very strong.
Let's look at the latest as far as vaccines are concerned. And I know that the one that is in people's minds is Johnson & Johnson's.
Maruch, Johnson & Johnson, we saw something. And remember that I think it was 2 weeks ago when we spoke about the rollout program, where we spoke about this unfortunate situation of a condition that these companies have put for countries, which is called NDAs. NDA means non-disclosure agreements, where they put things into those contracts and they say you cannot go and disclose and tell anyone. Now, with Johnson & Johnson, where South Africa had ordered over 40,000 doses, 40 million doses, then all of a sudden we see reports of cases of clotting in the U.S. and the federal drug agency in the U.S. then puts a halt in the administration or the rollout of the J&J vaccine. Once that happened, South Africa, despite these NDAs and the issues that are in the NDAs, South Africa had to act in the interest of the public of South Africa, which is why South Africa, the minister announced that South Africa will temporarily halt the administration or the rollout of the J&J vaccines. Once South Africa did that, then we saw J&J responding in a tit for tat, where J&J now is saying they are not going to release the 40 million doses that were meant for South Africa until the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition gives them a support letter. And that is something that is, you know, from you and I, something that is very crazy, because we are beginning now to ask and say, in actual fact, what is in the NDA? What is it that we do not know? Why does NDA, does the J&J now wants to hold the gun to the South African government by saying, because you suspended temporarily so the administration and the rollout of the J&J, therefore we demand and we want to get this letter from the DTIC. Now, the details of that letter is worrying and is concerning. In a type of democracy that we have, which is transparent and that requires and demands that there needs to be accountability and to make sure that Parliament and the people of South Africa are informed and involved, I see a lot of litigation that could come as a result of this, as civil organizations will begin to act on behalf of the people of South Africa. So that is actually very, very worrying as to what the developments are with this J&J. And South Africa is also informed that they are also looking at the Sputnik vaccine, which is the Russian vaccine, and the China vaccine, to look at where the other options for us as a nation could be to try and help South Africa access. And these global politics around the vaccine are so unfortunate. Rich countries are acting in a way that we must say it is evil, is diabolical, and we need to condemn them, to say you cannot, while the devastation of the virus has affected everybody, has affected even the developing world, the third world, so much that you put conditions that are actually meant to bring third world countries on their knees. And as children of God, we need to pray, we need to stand up in prayer and pray for our governments and pray for our leaders that they do not capitulate and end up selling their nations for a song to Big Pharma globally. And I know it's a statement that globally the World Health Organization has also come out to say, you know, this is a vaccine that should be available for common good, but it is no more available for common good. Nations now have to be sold at a plate.
All right, Mfundisi. And let's look at the economy under General Mfundisi. Is it the right time to invest in the economy as individuals, and why, if it's the right time?
Maruti, if we look at what where the global and the local economy, let's look at South Africa, the local economy was before COVID-19. Because remember, we became downgraded After the downgrading, we had a double whammy of double recession, the longest recession ever. And as a result, economically, including the stock market, took a big beating, where the rand-dollar exchange as well took a huge beating. What does that mean? That means we went on to a low. Now that South Africa is one out of a recession, it's got an economic recovery plan, and the economic recovery plan is beginning to show shoots, green shoots, and signs of recovery. Yesterday, the Stats SA reported, we spoke about manufacturing last week, which reported positive growth. Mining reported positive growth again for the second month this year, January and February. That in itself begins to say to us, if you are an investor or you've got some money to invest, put that money into the stock market as a retailer, because you will benefit from the upswing. As the South African economy begins to recover, because we're not yet at the level where we were before COVID-19. And anybody that enters now, any share price will continue to be very cheap at this point in time.
You ask yourself, which companies should people be, should they be, what companies should they, put their money on? Should they invest on Mfundisi, if I put it that way? I know that we come across a lot of advertisements on social media and on other platforms there, but it's very difficult to tell whether these are genuine or just simply scams out there.
Yeah, Maruti, I always say, because the banks are actually bound by the Financial Services Act. Every bank has got a shares platform. If you've got an app and you bank with any bank, all the banks, including the small banks, they do have stock brokers. And on that stock broker platform or that stock broker app, you would find that all the South African companies will be listed there, so that people do not go into these fly-by-night where you give your money to people. Trust the banks, because they are bound by the Financial Services Act, and they are bound to conduct themselves ethically. So it cannot be scams. Now, in terms of the question that you asked, which companies? Right now, Maruti, there are still companies that are still undervalued. For example, if I have to give you my top five shares in South Africa, top of the list will be what is called KP2, Quarter Potash. Quarter Potash share on the JSE. It's a penny stock. It's trading right now at 38 cents a share. It's very, very undervalued, because it's got an upswing that the last time when they did an IPO, the IPO was at 290, at 290. Now, at 35 cents, it is still very, very discounted. And in the last week, we've seen that share go up by about 55%. So that is one share that one could look at. The second one is what is called the ticker name is PPE, Purple Group. Purple Group is another stock that one could look at. It's still it was a penny stock just a month ago, but it's beginning to pick up now. It's no more a penny stock. It's trading at anything over close to 100 cents or 1 rand. The third one is PPC. PPC many years ago, or just some few years ago, was trading at 49 rands a share. And right now, PPC, if you look at last year, end of last year, PPC, which is Pretoria Portland Cement, was actually trading at about 20 cents a share. And today, as we speak, PPC is trading at over 2 rand 90. I think it's over 3 rands now. And you can just imagine if it was 5 years ago at 49 rands a share. Now, the path to recover and go back to 49 rands is a huge path, and it stands to benefit people on the upstream. So those would be my top three. In a month, PPC has gone up by over 326%, Muruti. And it's still going. Sasol, if I have to go to four, I would say Sasol is another one that has good prospects.
Muruti, thank you very much. I so wish that we could have you once again, maybe next week or 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time. And again, maybe we can talk about the Putuma shares. I know that Honali Barking Litsholo Litsuling Labatuelo, they haven't claimed their Antoniana.
The Putuma shares.
Putuma shares,
yes.
Yeah, which is very, very interesting, Fundisi. And again, from a layman's perspective, I think people should really let Bitcoin go, Mfundisi, for them to really worry and keep on bombarding us with the news, Zahora, how much is a one Bitcoin at this moment, and then had they invested when it was worth $1 and all that. But for now, Mfundisi, if they want to be scammed, they should keep on trying to chase the Bitcoin investments, Mfundisi. I think let it go and maybe look at the hot penny shares that you are talking about there.
Moruti, you are so right. For anyone who's still trying to convince people to buy Bitcoin is actually crazy, because Bitcoin is at its top, okay? And it's not going to double. It's not going to go. The one way that it will go is down, because everything that goes up must come down, okay? That's a basic rule of investment. So pick them, buy them when they are low, and grow with them. But if you buy something that is at its highest, I think it's penny-wise and pound-foolish.
Okay, Mfundisi. Raleboga Muruti, I have more information about how to get out.
Muruti, I am available on, my number is 083-229-5807, and I'm also available on Facebook, and on Facebook the name is Sello Helepi, S-E-L-L-O, and the surname is Helepi, H-E-L-E-P-I. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Sello Helepi, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 083-229-5807. Up next, Ndate Elias.
Did you know you can order your favorite Radio Pulpit programs on CD so that you can listen to them whenever you like? Contact our friendly client services department now to place your order. You will find them on 012-334-1200, 657 AM, your daily companion. In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit. Download the Bible to your cell phone. Read Word for Today. And you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za. Especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.